path to a better life begins with a simple step. Empower Radio presents Simple Steps, Real Change with Cheryl Maloney. Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Cheryl Maloney.
Hi, everyone. Are you finding yourself caught up in the stress of your life and the stress of everything that's going on in the world right now? Do you want to just make it all go away and you know you can't do a single thing about what's going on around you, but you want to find a little bit of peace in your life? Well, this is the show you want to be here to listen to because my guests are masters at quieting the mind and getting to that place of meditation. Now, I always looked at meditation as being something that was really hard to do until I learned that we make it into more than it is and we can make it into what we need it to be. So my guests today are Rob Dorgan and Steve Bollea. They are both life partners and business partners who spend their time helping people find their center, find their calmness, find their peace. And today we're going to talk about how do we find that in our lives. So Rob and Steve, welcome to the show today.
Hi, Cheryl. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, Cheryl. Thanks for having us today.
Well, we're thrilled that you are here. And I should say to our audience before I forget that Simple Steps Real Change is blessed to have both of you as regular contributors to Simple Steps Real Change online. And we share you on our Facebook page. And I love your articles. So I'm just thrilled as I can be to have you able to talk and people to hear your voices here. So let's start with the first thing that always comes to mind with people that I talk to is I don't have time to meditate. I just don't have time. How do you help get people get past that?
Well, it's a difficult thing because time seems to rule our lives so much. We're looking at the clock and we're on schedules. But I think the basic thing that I tell a lot of my students is once you make it a priority, especially for people who are really trying to quiet their mind because they know that there's more than just the busyness of their brain, I tell them to just take 3 minutes, sometime during that day. And I ask them to try to do that for a 3-week period. And basically, once they've done that, even if they commit and they can do most of that, they realize that something is shifting. And that usually will get them, like I say, hooked on the journey towards meditation. Because I'd like to just explain that. What I loved in your promo was that you always thought that it was harder than it really needed to be. And that is such the perception in the world about meditation, is that I tried since the 1980s to quiet my mind, and basically what I was always thinking is that what I had read was just, you know, close your eyes, breathe, and then stop the thoughts. That is impossible.
Yeah, right?
Stop the thoughts. That's what's overwhelming me.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you know, it's the brain's job to think.
Yeah, it is the brain's job to think. So what we, you know, the part is realizing that it's not that they're just going to stop, but what we start with is actually concentration exercises. Because just like anything, if you want to change your body, you start your exercise program really softly or, you know, like an easy program to work into it. The same thing with yoga. You go to a beginner's class. You don't jump into an advanced class. And the same thing with the road to meditation. You start with concentrating, using your breath, and actually just feeling the physical effects that breathing and silence can have on your body before you even go to the point of trying to quiet the mind. So I basically will tell people to start with something that is really doable for them, so just a couple minutes, and we both have like lots of exercises that we give folks to do depending, because there's different ways that people are able to concentrate, whether it is sitting still or maybe they need something that there's a little movement involved. Some people like to use sound. So there's lots of different techniques for getting yourself to that place where you can actually chill the mind, as I like to say.
This is an interesting concept because I think a lot of misunderstanding about meditation is you have to sit and you have to be still and you can't think, you can't move. And now you're talking about things that I think will excite a lot of people. Maybe it is in my movement. Maybe it's about listening to a sound. Maybe it is about just listening to my breath. And I think you've just cleared up a really big misunderstanding about meditation. So that should excite people that are listening. Okay, I can do this differently than what I've always heard.
Yeah, and some of the exercises that we offer our clients would be not only just following your breath, but maybe adding counting to your breath. So you breathe in on a count of three, and you breathe out on a count of three. So in that respect, when you add the counting, then you give the mind something to do. So, you know, like we first started talking about, how do I make time for it? It's like, you know, just set the 3 minutes and, you know, start the counting or whatever it is, whatever technique you find that works best for you, and then just keep on doing it.
You know, as you're talking about counting, it's interesting because there was a time in my life where I went through panic attacks. That was that whole time leading up to my husband dying. And that was one of the techniques that they taught me is when you go into a panic, count.
Yep.
Because your mind can't go to panic when it's counting. And what you're suggesting here now, which sounds really interesting, is just count as you breathe because you're focusing on the counting, not on everything else. So your mind's focused on something.
Absolutely. And taking it back even a more fundamental step is just sitting up straight. Again, you know, everybody thinks that they have to sit in a particular yogic pose.
Yeah.
You can sit in a chair. Make sure your feet are flat. Make sure your back is supported enough that you can sit up straight. And that is basic anatomy. I think we mystify meditation and concentration so much that we think it's not of us, especially if we don't feel like we have a strong spiritual practice. But this kind of concentration and meditation can become that practice for you. So you line up the body so that you can take in more breath. You know, in yoga, we call it the prana, the life force. But if you just think about the anatomy of our body, when we sit up straight, our lungs are in a position to take in more air. Just breathing deep helps us to relax. So if the first step, actually the first step to your meditation practice should be taking a proper seat, sitting up nice and straight, and learning how to just breathe deeper than you normally would, even if it's just a little bit. And then like Steve said, if you just start to add the counting, what you're going to realize is that there's going to be thoughts. But then you come back to the counting, the one, two, three, one, two, three. You're going to find your mind is going to wander. Then you come back to the counting. And that is really what we start with are the concentration practices on how to keep bringing the mind back to where you want it, not to where it wants to wander. So you just keep bringing it back to center. And over a 21 period of time, you'll start to notice that it becomes easier. One thing you want to do, though, is you want to tell yourself, I am going to do this for a certain amount of time. You don't want to do it for 3 days and just say, this is so hard, I can't do it. I was a person who thought I could not meditate. I have been trying all kinds of stuff since the 80s because I'm really a very high-strung, kind of internally constricted person. And I really needed to find something that would calm me from the inside out. I knew it. Or I knew that I was going to burn out or get sick. So it was when I started finding these other, what we call tantric technologies, the forms of concentration that can just help us to calm the mind, that I started to find a sense of freedom in myself. Because being able to concentrate and then taking it into the steps of meditation are really the things that lead us to an internal freedom. I think most of us in our culture feel really tied up and constricted inside of our own self. You know, we don't really even need an outside force to stress us out. We are doing it. It's basically an inside job. You know what I mean?
Oh, that one just rang so true with me as you said it. I absolutely understand that it is, because we allow our minds to create situations and they're not always the good ones. They're normally the negative ones. But you're right. We look on the outside, where what we need to do is look on the inside. What are we doing to ourselves? As you say, make a commitment to ourselves. And 3 minutes, I would have a hard time believing people couldn't find 3 minutes to take care of themselves, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking of self-care, simple self-care with meditation to start with.
Well, we are talking about simple self-care, which then where this really takes us, which is where the really heart of all this takes us, is into a sense of self-compassion. Those of us who grew up with really intense childhoods, or we may have actually been born into a great family, but maybe it's our own inclination to go to fear before we go to anything positive in our life. As we meditate and we take the time to really relax and start to, again, allow there to be room inside of us so that we can have other thoughts, that we can change the fear into something more positive. It takes it from just self-care to a deep, deep sense of self-compassion and self-love. And the self-love is really where meditation starts to have us learn to fly. You know, we become less concerned with things like aging, or in the case where someone dies in our life, we have more space inside us to understand that it is an intense experience and we need to experience emotionally. But through meditation, we learn to step back a bit and we start to tap into the witness that's inside of us who says, you know what, this is intense, but you're going to learn something. And because you love yourself so deeply, everything is going to be okay. And that's how we face days that are not so bright. And it helps us to get to a place in the middle. In yoga, it's called the sattvic place. Not too much energy, not in the place where there's not enough, but like right in that middle place where we can actually stand and witness our life from a healthier perspective. No matter where we are, it takes us to that really, that center place that's in our heart, which is called the rainbow bridge, which brings all of our energy together so that we have this incredible knowing eventually that we are good and that we are immortal and divine on the inside, that we're a spark of divinity. Now, I might be jumping ahead, but, you know, meditation on one level can just be the physical aspects to help you relax, help you to calm down, take your blood pressure down, help with depression. But eventually, it takes you to a deeper place of spirit within yourself. And that's when we start to find the meaning of life.
And this conversation, I think, is so vital, because we think of meditation traditionally, and it's just what's out there, that it's this practice that is so far into a spiritual realm that our lives don't accept it, or they can't get to that point because it's way out there.
Yeah.
But what you've just described is, you know, we're starting with these 3 minutes. We're starting with this simple process. And I like the analogy, you don't go out and run a marathon when you've never run before. You start slow, and then you take it to wherever you need it to go. And if that's the place that you just described, whereas you're within yourself and you understand your holiness, you understand your spiritual side, that's something that most people don't even think about because they can't get past that first 3 minutes. So I like that you have said there can be more to this when you're ready. You don't start
exactly
that way.
Yeah, when you're ready. And for some folks, maybe they never will be, but they do realize that it helps. I mean, this type of breathing and concentration, to put it, you know, on a really practical level, will help you at the dentist. because when you're nerved out, you know, or when you're getting ready to start a meeting or go on to a radio interview, if you deepen your breath and you close your eyes for a minute, you'll be surprised how much calmer you can help yourself become. It's like becoming that ultimate nurturing energy for yourself by starting with 3 minutes, and you may move up. You know, neuroscience is really starting to study meditation and people who meditate. And they're saying, Andrew Newberg has a book out called How God Changes the Brain. And he basically says in 7 minutes, that's all you need to work up to. 7 minutes of this breathing and concentration and eventually thinking of gratitude and compassion, and it will actually physically change things in your brain. And I think I agree with them. I think that neuroscience is catching up with the thousands of years of yogic practices that are out there. It's pretty exciting to see that, because I think there are some people who identify more with, you know, I want to know what's the science behind it, what's the practicality, and then it may lead them into a deeper sense of spirit, or maybe not.
But if anything, it's an education, and it's a possibility. It's a thought process that didn't cross our minds.
Right.
And so from 3 to 7 minutes, and I'm even sitting here going, okay, you start with 3, you make it to 7, and your brain's being changed by that?
Yeah.
I mean, that honestly, it's mind-blowing.
It is. And that's what we're trying to do, is actually blow the mind. And I would like to add here is that we are not trying to stop the mind. Your body, your emotions, and your mental capacities, your mind, are all three great, fabulous tools for experiencing our life. They're needed. But if they're out of control, that's when we feel out of control and we start obsessive thinking and we become compulsive. So what we want to do is we want to basically train the mind so that it becomes our friend. So we start to think instantly more of compassion than anger, feeling more a sense of satisfaction than an unsatisfactoriness that they say in Buddhism, that we all kind of feel this kind of like urge, there's got to be something better, there's got to be something better. But these techniques really help us to get to a place where we accept ourselves for who we are, we actually like ourselves, and we calm down to the point where we can become a channel for our own intuition. And that's really a marvelous thing, because then we're opening up to our own individual sense of creativity. And that might be for anything. That could be for cooking, raising your children. Maybe it is a piece of art or creating music. But when we tap into our own creativity, which is what meditation helps us to do then down the road as well, we really open up to our potential and all the possibilities that there are in the world. And there's a sense of relaxation and a sense of creativity. And then we feel like we're really functioning at our fullest. And that's what we all want, to function at our fullest and to be happy.
It's interesting, as I've listened to you, both of you, go forward with this, and I don't want to call it a process because that word just kind of bugs me for some reason, but, and I want to go back to this, you're starting with this three minute period of time and counting your breath and something so gentle and easy to building that up to where you get to this 7 minute point where your brain's changing. And now you've taken us to this place where you are tapping into your own intuition that you may have been ignoring or thinking, okay, it's a voice in my head and not paying any attention to it. But now you're literally tapping in to what will bring you more happiness and more joy in your life, because intuitively it's what you want for yourself.
Yeah. And we believe that voice, that intuitive voice, is always there.
Right.
But because the ego voice can be so loud and so out of control, you never hear it. So taking those 3 to 7 minutes a day to actually say to the mind, okay, let's just put you in the back seat for a minute. Then you have that opportunity to listen to that other voice.
I like it. It's just saying, it's saying to the mind, honestly, it's saying to the ego, it's time for you to take a rest. You can, you know, garner your strength later. And here, I'm going to give you a break. So you do it actually as something positive to that ego. But in your heart, you're saying, I'm bringing myself, my true self out. My ego can come back when I'm ready. But right now, I need to tap into me.
Yes. Yeah, and you know, a beautiful way to think about it too is bringing your mind and your heart together. You know, we think of those as so of being so separate, but when we can bring our mind and heart together, and we actually think and we feel it in our heart, and we know that it's right action, then we're really awakening ourselves to the essence of our true being, because that lives in our heart center. As humans, I really believe that we are meant to express ourselves through love. And, you know, there's all kinds of the yoga is it outlines a whole thing that gets in our way. Like the Buddhists say it's ignorance and attachment and aversion. You know, we're attached to some things. We don't want some things. And we never take the time to know, well, why is that? You know, and so what meditation just starts us to do is to actually step back a little bit once we've done it for a while and to look at things and say, well, why do I think that? Is that just because it's something I inherited? Why do I have an aversion to that? You know, or I've always thought this way, but maybe there is another way, because like I was saying, meditation just opens us up internally, like in our heart center, which when we come from there, there's such a deeper understanding to our life. That we feel fulfilled and we feel united to the divine essence that we are a part of, that we have been created from. And that's important because we all have such a sense of separation. And right now, like we were just talking about a little bit of politics or whatever, it's like right now we are feeling so separate. And can we find a commonality between us? And if we all were coming from the heart, if we were taking the time to get out of our heads and breathe a little deeper, we would find that we are so much more alike than we are different. There are differences, and there's different ways of thinking, but it would open us up to more compassion.
In starting... There is a bigger world out here, and what you're talking about is leading with love, but I love... Love. Okay, it's all about love. We have to start with ourselves.
Yeah.
Because if we have this self-loathing, if we're not in this place where our heart is aligned with our spirit, our mind, then we're out of our own alignment. And it's hard to give love out into the world when you don't feel it for yourself. So I like that you talk about lining this up within you, because it gives you the ability to line it up outside of you too.
And you're so right. It has to start with us. And we're pulled outwardly first. And that's where the whole judgment of everyone comes. And what we don't realize when we judge someone is that we're really judging ourselves. Whether we judge them to be better or worse than us, we're putting ourselves in some spectrum of either better or worse than them. And it's useless. We are who we are. But getting rid of that judgment is also part of what the concentration and meditation can help us with. Steve and I were driving one day, and we were like, okay, we're going to see if we're going to really take this judgment thing on. Well, it's not just judging people on the negative, but, you know, it's like, oh, I like what they have on. I like that color car. I like that. It's like, and that all seems good, but it's still the mind judging everything it looks at. And it takes a lot of energy to do that 24/7 or when you're awake. So when we get to more of a calm, centered place, then we can just be like, everything just is. And then when you need to use your judgment, you do, rather than having to do it on
everything.
Little minute thing. It makes it different.
Oh, I love it. Well, on that note, we've actually come to the end of the show. And I like that we ended it with, let's just... let our judgment be what it is, let the situation be what it is, and set the judgment aside. So I want you to be able to help our audience to reach out and touch you guys, because I think you've got so much I know that I've been able to use. And so go ahead and share with our audience how they can reach you.
Well, we have a website, and it's www.robandsteve. So the and is spelled out, the A-N-D, robandsteve.net. That's probably the best way to get a hold of us, or through Simple Steps Real Change. And on Facebook, our Facebook page is actually named Themes for Life, which is the same as the column that we have on Simple Steps Real Change. So it's Themes with an F, Themes for Life.
Perfect.
We do a couple retreats every year. That's all listed on our website, and different events that we're doing.
Perfect. Well, Rob and Steve, thanks for being here with us today. I know that you've brought so much peace into my life, and I'm glad we could share you with our audience. So thank you.
Oh, thank you, Cheryl. It's been a pleasure.
Everyone, thanks for being here with me. This is Cheryl Maloney with Simple Steps Real Change, and you've been listening to Rob Dorgan and Steve Bollea and Themes for Life. Have a great week. See you next time.